I think when you've been in the position I've been in, you know, you just count your blessings every day. And, you know, I've just been a part of so many great teams that have had the opportunity to play in this game. And it is once in a lifetime, you know, the experience. But, you know, we've just been fortunate to play enough or play good enough in the playoffs to advance and then get to play in this game. And it's hard to believe that, you know, this is the ninth time doing this.
We get it, Tom. Just, you know, dig a little deeper into the Chiefs' side. It's only my ninth time. He had to mention nine at the end, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Humble Knot. Okay, I'm messing around. He seems to handle it in stride. He seems to be a pretty good class act, except that he's a known cheater, according to the KDKA television station and their graphics guy, who has now since been fired because of that. Yeah, it's the Patriots and the Rams. We'll break it down coming up a little bit later here on the Sports Ticket. But first, we have local sports information.
Yes, so we'll start first with last night's high school wrestling results. Beloit winning their senior night duel over Riley County, 48-21. So they send the seniors off in style there with that victory. As far as their home schedule is concerned, Beloit will be competing on Saturday at the Phillipsburg Panther Classic tomorrow morning starting at 9 o'clock. Lincoln will also be there. And they got finished with their activities last night, the Harrington Jamboree. Top finishes for Lincoln in the A rounds of the weight classes, 113. Brayson Young finished in first place. Jerry Marenhagen finished second at 182. And 220A, Trey Barrientos finished second for Lincoln as well. There were some higher finishes, but in some lower divisions of the weight classes there. But you can find all that at ncksports.com. for the Harrington Jamboree that Lincoln was competing in yesterday. Also coming up tonight in high school wrestling, Smith Center will host Rossville in dual action. That's supposed to begin at 6 o'clock here this evening in Smith Center. Coach Hutch said it was going to be a pretty quick duel here tonight, but Rossville stopping on their way to Phillipsburg tomorrow for that tournament, so I figured they'd get an extra few matches in for his kids tonight. Smith Center hosting Rossville in a wrestling duel this evening. And that shifts us to our basketball coverage coming up tonight here on Katy Country 94, an online video at ncksports.com. The Beloit Trojans will be at Ellsworth. Wade will have the call over there in the NCAA League matchup. Pregame coverage for the girls, 5:50. Tip at 6, the boys to follow. Then on Z96 Point through the lake, it's Lakeside at Rock Hills. I'll have the call from up at Mankato this evening. And pregame coverage, 5:50. Tip at 6, and the girls to follow. Again, those times are approximate. If we're not on at those times, just hang with us. Might be running a little bit behind. Seems like I've been running behind on every NPL game that I've done this year, so we'll see if we get on it at 5:50 on Z96 Point through the lake tonight or not. But stay with us. Like I said, if we're not on right at those times, also tonight, St. John's Tipton hosting Wilson in Tipton. Osborne at Natoma. Again, that's a boys-only game tonight. And again, no girls team for Natoma this year. So Osborne boys at Natoma tonight. Pike Valley at Lincoln. Sylvan Lucas at Thunder Ridge, rounding out the Northern Plains League schedule in the area. And Smith Center's at Hill City tonight in Mid-Continent League play. So that's a look at the schedule for tonight in high school basketball.
All right, Beloit at Ellsworth tonight. Beloit seems like they haven't been on the road very much this year. A lot of home games, a little home heavy, and then next year they'll be road heavy. Ryan Eilert talks about the keys to his team winning at Ellsworth. The Trojans ranked fourth in Class 3A, 13-1.
For us, you know, we've got to continue to play defense and offensively, work to be a little bit more efficient. It seems like each game we're going through a few lulls throughout where we'll go 2 to 3 minutes without a bucket, and we've got to try to eliminate those.
The Beloit boys would be the favorite tonight, certainly against Ellsworth, who's at the near the bottom of the NCAA. Beloit not wanting to trip up as they're undefeated in league play. And then the girls' game, kind of similar thing from the standpoint that you don't want to trip up here on the road at Ellsworth. Beloit beating the Ellsworth girls the first time, 39-22. That was a season low in points for Ellsworth. And Shauna Remus, head coach of the Beloit Lady Trojans, talks about meeting the Bearcats for a second time.
They're a little bit younger this year and a little less experienced, but they're going to fight hard and play with a lot of heart and determination. And we're definitely healthy. We were kind of going through a spurt when we played in the first time where we weren't real healthy, but we're healthier now, and so working, you know, our offense a little better, and defense is coming around. So I think we'll be all right. We just need to do what we do best, and take care of the ball is a big thing too.
Beloit at Ellsworth tonight, Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com, smartphone apps. Get that Katy Country 94 app. It's free. And also online, live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. On Z96.3 Lake, Dusty mentioned it is Lakeside at Rock Hills tonight. And Drew Dusky, head coach of Lakeside, talks about the Grizzlies.
You know, I think we're both similar teams. you know, me and Coach Meisner coached together for a couple years, and we kind of have the same outlook on things and kind of the same philosophy. I think it's going to come down to who's shooting well, you know, because both Rock Hill has been struggling on offense, and we've been struggling on offense kind of most of the year. So, and I think whoever, you know, shows up and is really being efficient on offense and able to do the small things, you know, like cutting down on turnovers, getting loose balls, and rebounding, I think that's who's going to come out and win the game.
Rock Hill's head coach Nick Meisner, his thoughts on the Knights.
They're a solid team. You know, they got fourth in the league tournament, and they've got some seniors that, you know, yeah, I got the privilege to coach a couple years, and they're not going to let anything come easy. They've got, you know, kind of a strong-willed personality and have good leadership. And you know, Mason Dusky and Caleb Hake, they're going to lead that team, whether it's a grinded-out style or, you know, if they're shooting and hitting the outside shots, you know, then they're really deadly.
So Rock Hill's hosting Lakeside tonight. Girls and boys doubleheader on Z96.3 Lake, KDCountry94.com, and get the Z96.3 Lake free app on your smartphone so you can listen outside the listening area. So look forward to all the basketball tonight, all that information, including the latest wrestling and basketball rankings and latest athlete of the week. It's all there for you in the standings and schedules and scores and so much more. NCKSSports.com. Another important weekend in the Big 12 in college basketball. As Kansas at home against Texas Tech. Texas Tech 5-3, Kansas 5-3. Neither is in first place in the Big 12, but at the end of this weekend, the winner of this game could be in a tie for first in the Big 12, or maybe even a half game ahead, whatever the case may be. Big game for the Jayhawks, and usually when it's a big game, it's at Allen Fieldhouse, the Jayhawks win. Self talks about Texas Tech, which you can hear at KU hosting Texas Tech tomorrow. 2:30 pregame, tip-off at 3 on Z96.3 The Lake.
They're terrific, and they're great defensively, and they play hard, and they had success here last year, so obviously they'll come in believing that they can do it, and they can. I mean, there's no question. They're very capable of winning anywhere, anytime, and we're going to have to play better than we have played the last couple of games, obviously a lot better, and we got to figure out some way to attack their, you know, half-court defense, and hopefully get out and maybe score some points in transition before the defense can get set as well. But it'll be a great challenge for us, but we're playing at home, and I know our guys will be jacked to play.
Right now, the Big 12 standings, K-State Baylor atop the Big 12 at 5-2. Baylor's won five games in a row. Texas Tech, Iowa State, Kansas, and logjam at 5-3, and Texas not too far behind at 4-4. Texas Tech, number 16 at number 11, Kansas. That is 3 o'clock tomorrow, pregame 2:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. K-State will be at Oklahoma State. More on that in a moment. That'll be at 5 o'clock tomorrow. You can watch that on ESPNU. Oklahoma's at West Virginia, 11 a.m. Texas at number 20, Iowa State at 1, and TCU's at Baylor at 7 o'clock. I would imagine K-State and KU fans would probably cheer for TCU to win that one. But there's still 10, 11 games in the case of Baylor and K-State to go in the Big 12 conference season race. And we had Riley Gates on earlier this week, our Wildcat insider, to discuss the Oklahoma State game. And, well, Riley's had some bold predictions lately, and they haven't all exactly been dead on. So if you're a K-State fan and you hear this, you may shudder and go, oh, no, we're going to lose.
I don't see any way that they lose. Even if you have a bad shooting night or Dean Wade gets into foul trouble or something like that, you still should be able to go in there and win. I mean, your 8 and 9 guys are better than probably their 3 and 4 guys. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see how that one plays out. And you just gotta hope that they don't, you know, get a little bit too ahead of themselves, looking forward a little bit to that next game and trying to get that big win. It's the most cliche thing in sports, but you do gotta take it one game at a time when you're in a position like K-State, because you have a chance to win the Big 12 championship this year.
Keyword should. Well, they should have won at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Now, after, you know, having a week off between games and having that bitter taste in their mouth after losing A&M, I think K-State will be fine. I think they'll win Oklahoma State as well. But once again, like we said last week, it wouldn't shock us if K-State lost at Oklahoma State. Anything's possible with this team.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I wish Riley wouldn't have said what he said because of what you said there to start that cut. He's been off a little bit on some of his predictions. It's like maybe he's the jinx here, but we said that last week. It's like K-State's going to win these important games in the Big 12, and then they're going to trip up against Oklahoma State. And, well, they tripped up against Texas A&M, which was out of conference after we said that too. So, K-State should win. They need to win. I think they will win, but...
But you're not going to put any money on it.
No, no, because this Jekyll and Hyde thing is just ridiculous with this K-State team.
It's been that way the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, was with us yesterday, and he says that, you know, who's the biggest threat? Dustin and I were talking about this the other day. Who, if you had to bet somebody in the field to beat Kansas, you couldn't place a wager on Kansas to win the Big 12. You had to pick another team from the rest of the lot. Who would you pick? I picked Iowa State. Dusty kind of was with me, Iowa State, although I think you mentioned Texas Tech as well. And Baylor, of course, was mentioned. But we didn't pick K-State. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, thinks K-State is the biggest threat to the crown.
I think this. Bill Self is the best close game coach in the league. He's the best adjuster in the league. He's the Hall of Famer that this league, you know, he's the flag carrier, you know, that this league stakes its reputation on. And I think he's worth 5 or 6 points a game. So I would never bet against that guy. But if you're asking me to rank the teams outside of Kansas, I would actually go K-State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Baylor in that order. To me, I respect, and I hate to use the term fear, but I respect and value K-State the most of those teams because they're coming off an Elite Eight run without their best player. I think they're finally starting to figure it out. Obviously, the Big 12 SEC Challenge didn't show that, but I think that's the team you have to respect the most, regardless of what it looks like offensively. And I think it means the most to them. If they got to be the team that ended 14 straight, think about how long we'd hear about that for the next rest of our lives.
Well,
so that's something that I think from a motivation standpoint, everybody wants to win the league.
Sure.
But for these K-State seniors, what a legacy that would be for them. And so Tuesday night in Manhattan is going to be unreal. And how Kansas handles that environment and the amount of motivation on the other side and the crowd noise and all of that raining down upon them will be as big a determiner in what this is going to look like heading down the stretch as any.
So Brian Haney thinks K-State's the biggest threat. You know, I think they are too if they play offense. And I think Texas Tech would be just as bigger threat if they played offense. But those two really struggle offensively. That's why I pick Iowa State. I know Iowa State isn't as good defensively, but they're a little bit more balanced than those teams. So it'll be interesting. And the one we're overlooking is Baylor, and we're not mentioning Texas, who certainly has still a puncher's chance, no question about it, now that they've beaten Kansas. And if you're going to win the Big 12, you probably have to at least win one of your two against the Jayhawks. And so far, we know West Virginia's not going to win the Big 12, so we can cancel them out. They beat KU. But Iowa State beat them. And then, of course, Texas. So I would say those two still are in the mix, no question, to win the Big 12. But we established this earlier this week. We're still putting our money on Kansas at this moment. Now, that may change if they lose tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, everything hinges on what we think they're going to do, you know.
I'll say this. If they lose tomorrow, I'm still not getting off the wagon.
Yeah,
they lose
not,
Texas Tech and K-State and have a four-game losing streak, now I'm probably jumping off.
Yeah, you're in a tough spot there for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we can ride on the history all we want and what we think Bill Self will do with them all we want. But if they lose the next two, then, the beginning of panic has probably already started to happen with some KU fans.
Right.
But that would for all of them, that would definitely take care of that if they lose two in a row here and everybody be like, oh no, this is not good.
Well, we said it here in the last week or two that if you're going to get Kansas, you probably need to do it now. They're vulnerable now. So Texas took advantage of the opportunity. Next up, Texas Tech and K-State. Iowa State didn't take advantage of the opportunity, although they had a shot in Lawrence. They were up 9 in the second half, couldn't get it done. Texas Tech now has a chance. They won in Lawrence last year. And K-State has a chance at home on Tuesday. So the opportunities are there for Texas Tech, who still got to play Kansas again in Lubbock later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then K-State gets to play at Lawrence later on this year. So Texas Tech and K-State coming up, both will have two shots to knock off Kansas.
Yes.
Iowa State is already done, and they split 1-1. So be very interested to see how it plays out. So that's the Big 12 schedule for this weekend. Coming up here about 10 to 15 minutes, Jeff Long, KU Athletic Director, will join us to talk KU football, KU men's basketball, and what about renewing that KU-Missouri rivalry? We will chat with him about that coming up in a little bit. There's this game called the Super Bowl on Sunday, and I must say, of all the years the Super Bowl has been taking place, this is the year I'm least interested. And it's probably because the Chiefs were so close to making it, and I'm still a little bit bitter about it. But I think the other reason is it's the Patriots. You know, you talk so much about how, well, I don't even want to watch it. It's the Patriots and the Steelers, the AFC title game, or I don't want to watch it, the Warriors and the Cavs because of them every year. And I get that. Well, you know, if it was the Chargers who beat the Chiefs, I'd be more tuned in to this Charger-Ram game, even though the Chiefs lost. But it's the Patriots again. And I think the Patriots are going to win. That's my prediction. They lost last year. I don't think they're going to lose back-to-back Super Bowls. I think they're going to win. And I think you got the experienced Sage and Bill Belichick, who will outcoach the fantastic young phenom in Sean McVay. You got the advantage of quarterback Brady over Goff. The Rams' defense hasn't been great, although it's been better in the playoffs. But I think they'll take advantage of Marcus Peters and their offensive line. If the Rams don't get a pass rush like the Chiefs, they're toast. But I think the Rams certainly have a better chance of getting a pass rush. Plus, they have a defensive coordinator that actually might blitz and mix it up a little bit in Wade Phillips. Some people telling me that this is going to be a blowout one way or the other. I don't see it. I just think with the parity in the National Football League, I know we're due for a blowout in the Super Bowl. We had a lot of great games lately. But have you looked at the Patriots Super Bowls? Every single one of them has come down to the final minute. The final minute. Every single Super Bowl has come down. I mean, the Patriots could have easily lost every one of the Super Bowls they won, and they could have easily won every one that lost. I mean, think about that. I mean, they kicked the field goal to beat the Rams. Last time they played them, upset the Rams. Vinatieri hit the field goal at the end to win the game. They got the interception against the Seahawks at the goal line, or they would have lost that game. Then the David Tyree catch, Giants beat the Patriots. They don't make that catch. Patriots win that one. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, they were down 28-3 to the Falcons a couple years ago and should have lost, came back and won in overtime. Greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Last year, they had the lead, went back and forth, could have easily won the ball game, and the Eagles finished it off. So, and they had to have a trick play, a Philly special, to really, in essence, beat the Patriots there before halftime. The Patriots play close, super hotly contested Super Bowls. There are no blowouts.
Yeah.
So maybe there's more reason to say, well, we're due for one. I think it's going to be a close, tight game, and I'm going to go with the Patriots to win, but I'm going to be pulling for the Rams. And I'm not a big Rams fan. I'm not a Marcus Peters fan. Like, I didn't mind Peters. Even when he was let go of the Chiefs, I understood maybe where he was coming from a little bit, but his antics this year with the Rams have just totally rubbed me the wrong way. It's like he doubled down to be an even worse bad boy. And I just think that's not becoming of him. And then to get in these skirmishes after games, just be quiet and play. You haven't played well all year long. Just shut up and play. So I'm kind of sick of Marcus Peters and his attitude. I'm not a big Aqib Talib fan. I respect his game, but I mean, you know, listen, if you ran in Aqib Talib and you didn't know who he was, you probably wouldn't think a lot of him, okay? I'm just going to say it. Even though he's a KU guy, you know, some KU fans are like, well, this is great, it's Talib. Listen, if you ran in Aqib Talib in everyday society, I'm guessing that you would probably put the KU Jayhawk affiliation aside fairly quickly. Now, I may be wrong. Maybe he's the greatest guy ever, but I've heard some stories. So Talib and Peters, not a big fan of. I'm not a big fan of Ndamukong Suh either. He's a bit of a dirty player, as we know, although he's been pretty good this year. I really love Aaron Donald. I think he's a phenomenal talent. And I really like Todd Gurley. And Jared Goff seems like a nice guy. And I like
most of the guys on the offensive side of the ball for the Rams, I'm perfectly fine with. It's just those malcontents on the defense that we were talking about at the beginning of the season, even. Can they coexist?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks bought Super Bowl tickets for the team janitor and his son. And I thought that was awesome. And Brandon Cooks, of course, played with the Patriots last year. And now he's in the Super Bowl, but he's with the Rams. Andrew Whitworth, who's been in the NFL for like 14 years and never played in a playoff game or won a playoff game, he's now in the Super Bowl, and that'd be kind of cool for him to win it. He's a lineman for the Rams. So I'm cheering for the Rams to win, but honestly, I'm not going to lose any sleep if the Patriots do. So who are you picking, Patriots or Rams?
I'm picking the Patriots.
Okay, so we're both picking the Patriots, which means put all your money on the Rams. Who are you cheering for?
Like,
you have to pick
the
one.
Rams, just basically the same reasons that you said.
Okay.
Because I...
Tired of the Patriots winning.
I just don't want Marcus Peters to win a Super Bowl. But
but you don't want the Patriots to win another one.
I don't want the Patriots to win another one.
There you go.
More than I don't want Marcus Peters to win.
So your displeasure is more with the Patriots and their winning ways than Peters and his antics. Okay, I got you. Here's Bill Belichick talking about Sunday.
I think our team's done everything we've asked them to do this week. They've worked extremely hard. They've been focused. They've spent a lot of extra time doing things. The Rams are a hard team to prepare for, as we've mentioned, and they've done a lot to try to put in extra time in preparation for that. You know, all the practices at this time of year, generally, I mean, look, the players are playing the biggest game of the year, biggest game of their life, coaching the biggest game of your life. It's a great opportunity. You put everything you have into it and do the best you can.
And you have 2 weeks to prepare, and I think that obviously helps Belichick. Here's Sean McVay, the young phenom, much younger than Dusty and me, and he's now in a Super Bowl.
To play against the Patriots is a great challenge, but they're one of these teams. I mean, they're consistently showing up. You look at the amount of appearances that they've had, the consistency at which they've operated. It's not a surprise, and they're a great challenge to prepare for.
So it is the Rams and the Patriots. I believe the Patriots are a slight favorite in this one. At 5:30, somewhere around there, is kickoff. Marine 5 is the halftime show entertainment, which my wife's excited about that. I don't know why. I like Marine 5, so I'm cool with it. I hope the commercials are better than they've been the last couple years. The commercials have kind of gone downhill. I'm going to be more glued for the commercials this year myself. That, and I hope it's a great game, which I think it will be. Now, what about those Super Bowl prop bets? This is always fun when it comes to Super Bowl. You want to hear some of the bets out there, ladies and gentlemen? I'll just go through some of the bets. How long will it take Gladys Knight to sing the national anthem as a prop bet? Under a minute 47, over a minute 47. You can bet in Vegas or whoever you bet with. You could bet on the outcome of the coin toss. You got a 50-50 shot, heads or tails. Who will commit the first penalty of the game? Here are other things that you can bet on. Will a non-quarterback throw a touchdown, yes or no? What will be the first song performed by Maroon 5 at halftime? One More Night, Sugar, Other, or Makes Me Wonder? Other would be anything else. Will Adam Levine be wearing a hat to start the halftime show? You can bet on that. How many yards will Tom Brady throw for? The over-under is 291.5. I'll take over. How many yards would Todd Gurley rush for? Under or over 64.5? Well, the way he's been going lately, I'd say under.
Yeah.
And the way the Patriots have been doing. What color will the liquid be that is poured on the game-winning coach?
That's always my favorite one.
Yeah, what will the Gatorade color be? Lime green, yellow, orange, blue, red, clear, water, purple. Who will be the first person the winning quarterback thanks? Teammates, God, fans, family, or coach? Another one, how many points will be scored in the game? That's a tiebreaker. Those are just an example of a few of the prop bets that are out there. You can bet on who's going to be the MVP. There are so many crazy, crazy, crazy bets out there. But those are just an example of a few that you can have fun with at your Super Bowl party or whatever the case may be. So,
I wonder if Adam Levine reads the prop bets. It'd be funny is if he just
friends of his bet on it, and then he gets a commission off.
If it would be funny is if he walked out just holding a hat in his hand instead of wearing it.
Yeah, what happens then? Yeah.
Well, he'd be wearing a hat, and then he just walks out and just holding it, and it makes everybody mad that he's not wearing it, or they're like, wait, he's got a hat. Is he wearing it? Does it count? Does it not count?
Yeah, I don't know how that all works. There's lots of bets out there. I'm trying to see if there's a few more. Okay, it looked like there was going to be a whole list here, and then it doesn't show it to me. So I guess you don't have to worry about that. You can look them up yourself in your free time.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're not working or doing anything important, right, ladies and gentlemen? Big 12 SEC has renewed the SEC Big 12 Challenge for 6 more years.
Yes.
Good, bad?
I don't have a problem. The only problem I have
is when they play it. One.
Yeah. And that's why I have a problem with when they play it. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you were going to play this and have a lot of Kansas-Kentucky matchups, mm-hmm. they're the same importance and reach as that one is nationally, mm-hmm. then I'm fine with when they play it. But I just... And I know that they get more publicity by doing it now instead of during football season, but it's just like, but what are you going to do? It's not going to go away.
Mind it in the middle of the Big 12 season as a fan, but I think as a coach, I wouldn't like it.
Oh, no, I would hate it as a coach, and the coaches do hate it.
They do.
But they go with what the university says and what the ADs are saying, that they're going to make the money.
It's good for the Big 12.
Exposure for both conferences.
It's good for the SEC, but the only marquee matchup is Kansas-Kentucky. There's no other one. Florida would have been when they used to be great.
Yeah.
But otherwise, there's not a single other great team you pick in the Big 12 or the SEC.
No.
There's nothing.
We talk every year that Kansas, it's an indictment on the conference that they're winning that many championships. Well, you can see that mm-hmm. pretty good when you're taking a part in a challenge against another conference and you can't find good matchups.
Interesting.
Like West Virginia against Tennessee this year. If they played that game last year's West Virginia against this year's Tennessee would have been outstanding.
It would have been, It's funny you said indictment because that's exactly a question I'm going to ask Jeff Long. You know, is it excellence in regards to Kansas winning 14 in a row, or is it also an indictment of the Big 12 when nobody else can win it? They can get a share and that's it. It'll be interesting to get Jeff Long's response to that one coming up in a little bit. Athletic director at Kansas. All right, we end with the NBA before we get to Mr. Long. LeBron is back. Here's why I am going to stick with my wagers with everyone when it comes to this. As long as LeBron James is healthy, the Lakers will make the playoffs. And if they stay away from being the 8 seed and away from the Warriors, all you got to do is be the 7 seed. They'll stay away from the Warriors, and they can meet them in the Western Conference Finals. Here's LeBron. He's back. And what do you know? Lakers won.
Here's LeBron dribbling top of the key. LeBron moving right. LeBron spins in the paint. 8-foot fall away. Good. 120 to 118. Lakers by 2. 110 to go in the game.
LeBron nearly had a triple-double, his first game back. And LeBron talked about the Lakers' playoff chances as they're now 27-25. They beat the Clippers last night. That's a team they trailed by 2 games, so they gained a game on the Clippers. They win 123-120 in overtime last night. Here's LeBron.
I mean, if we play like we did tonight, and we continue to get healthy and I continue to get back into a groove, then we put ourselves in position to compete for a postseason spot, that's for sure. I mean, that's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for. I'm not, no one's here, and especially with the Lakers, we're not here to lose. So, you know, we want to try to see what we can do.
So LeBron certainly likes playoff chances. Of course, he's back. And obviously, it makes him a much better team. So don't write off the Lakers unless LeBron gets hurt again. Porzingis traded from the Knicks to the Mavericks, and the Mavericks trade Dennis Smith Jr. Those are two tremendous talents. And apparently the Knicks aren't, I would guess, not pleased with the recovery of the knee for Porzingis. I mean, this is a guy that was unbelievably great there, and they gave up on him pretty quickly. I was surprised by that. Maybe they know more than we know, and the Mavericks don't know enough. But on paper, to me, that Mavericks got the best of that deal. But
well, and the crazy thing is the Knicks could have had Dennis Smith Jr., but they drafted that Frank whatever out of France, this pick right
the
before Dennis Smith.
Or something,
So they could have, Nidalina or however you say it.
And now they traded for him.
They could have had Dennis Smith Jr. They just drafted. They could have both of those guys. But they got DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah. So that should be great, watching a whole bunch of bricks from the foul line and pay a guy $20 million to
shoot
blanks.
I'm guessing they're probably going to cut bait with him
and I would think so.
Get that off their books, I guess.
I would imagine so. Remember, Jordan was, the Mavericks wanted to get him so badly a few years ago, he changed his mind, and they did get him, and he is basically, it seems like he's checked out of some games. Make all this money and not engaged. That's just real professional, DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.